Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right. Happy New Year's Eve morning, everybody. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. We are glad that you are here with us on the final day of 2024. And what a ride it's been. There's no doubt about that. Kim St. Ange back in studio this morning. How are you, my friend?
Thank you. I feel like I crawled out of my grave.
Oh, my goodness.
I have not had the flu for maybe 5 years, and it's so easy to forget how rough it is.
Did you get a flu vaccine?
No.
No.
And I don't regret that either.
I didn't think so. I know the vaccine issue here. I don't know if it wouldn't made a difference. I got a flu vaccine, but I still got some ick that took me almost 4 weeks to get over. It obviously wasn't the flu, but it transformed into bronchitis, and nobody got time for that. So I'm glad that you're feeling at least well enough to get back in the studio. And the biggest bummer is it happened during Christmas, your vacation.
Yeah, I made it through Christmas, and that was Christmas night is when I started really going downhill. And it's one of those things where you're going, and you know that once your body finally slows down and you actually just sit for a second, you're probably going to start feeling all the things that your body's not dealt with because you've been running on adrenaline.
Right. Well, we're glad that you're back on your feet and you'll get another day off tomorrow to maybe recover.
Thank you.
All we have to do is drag you through the next 4 hours and it'll be good.
Perfect.
Thank you for being here this morning. She's like, wow, if I just taken today off, I wouldn't have to listen to that crap and I could be at home resting right now. Anyway, we're glad you're here. Carl Middleman, how are you?
I'm all right.
Ready for your big trip?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where are you going?
I'm going
back to Florida.
Back to Florida and then to Chicago on a day it's snowing.
In the rain or in the snow, potentially.
The day we come back from Chicago, we have to go to Jefferson City.
Oh, no.
So that bumps the total up to 3,000 miles in a week.
Yeah. So I've been seeing all of these reports out there that there's some deep freeze headed this way. By this weekend and into early next week, like there could be temperatures we haven't seen since somebody wrote 1994.
That was a long time ago. There was a major snowstorm then. I remember.
Well, I don't think they're talking about a major snowstorm, but the potential maybe for some ice and sub-zero temperatures potentially.
I've dealt with those in Iowa, so I can probably handle the sub-zero temperatures. I don't like the ice. In fact, remember last year, Mark, we were dealing with ice, and I went to go leave my neighborhood, and I was driving, and my car just kept going right down the hill past the exit, missed the turn, and I'm like, this is not going to go well for me. I'm just going to flip right back around, and I think I did the show from home.
Yeah.
I don't mess around with ice.
You did, and that's when we found out about your clock.
The clock that doesn't work. And just to update anyone who's still interested from 1 year ago, the clock still does not work.
You still haven't fixed it.
It's 5 o'clock because it's always 5 o'clock somewhere at your house.
Thank you, Jimmy Buffett. Yes.
Yeah, thank you. Exactly. Well, we got lots we're going to get to for you today. We're going to talk, among other things, about what Kim and I think were the biggest stories of 2024. The obvious ones, the ones maybe that aren't so obvious that we've forgotten about over the past year. So nationally and locally and that sort of thing, just kind of a good day for that before we jump off into the new year and the Trump inauguration and everything that's going to be happening. We've got lots to get to for you on that. We'll get to all that and more. Kim on a whim, we got that coming up again here at the bottom of the hour because Kim is back. Barely, but she's back, and that's important. Right now, Carl, let's get to our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Really humbled and honored to have President Trump's endorsement for Speaker again. He and I work so well together, so closely together, and we have a lot of big things to do.
It is the art of the deal. Donald Trump has endorsed Mike Johnson to be remain as Speaker of the House, trying to head off a few numbskulls in Congress who decided they want to try to stop him. That would be so damaging to all of the goals of the incoming Trump administration.
It was the economy and the gas lines and things. I was in my early 20s, but I remember it. That cost him, I think, his defeat.
Yeah, Jimmy Carter didn't bear any responsibility for anything, according to the Reverend Al, who was on there yesterday defending the legacy of what, until Joe Biden came along, was the worst presidential administration of my lifetime.
The idea that this was the most underreported story of 2024, it was the most underreported story of 23, 22, 21, and 2020. Joe Biden is the only president in history who makes the sign language interpreter shrug.
Jimmy Fallon. And boy, I don't know how you could argue with that logic. He's like, hey, wait a minute. This wasn't just the biggest story, the most underreported story of this year. How about the past 4 years? Where you been?
11 wins last year, and we got 10. We got 10 this year. I mean, the whole month, let's go get 10. Let's go get 10. Let's finish. Let's be finishers. And that's what we did. I'm just so proud of that.
Yeah, I just have to say, hats off to the Mizzou Tigers and Brady Cook. I got to watch the parts of the first half.
You watched the bad part then.
And the key second half I got to watch. And wow.
He deserved MVP. We were watching that, and I don't remember at what point in the game this was, maybe the fourth quarter or end of the third, and they put up some statistics saying Brady Cook had rushed at that point for 60 yards, the rest of the team, 23.
He was driven to win that game. When they were down 10 points, I'm thinking to myself, man, what are they going to do to overcome this? I mean, Iowa's defense was playing pretty well, and a couple of big passes, a couple of huge kicks there in the second half by the kicker. They're not talking about the thicker kicker anymore, right?
56-yard.
I know.
Field. I mean, that is like Harrison Butker.
He set two records yesterday.
Wow. And this guy's a freshman.
Well, thank goodness they had him because they needed him. But regardless, what a huge, I mean, congratulations. They're going to make a meme out of Brady Cook. Like, after the kid hit that 56-yard field goal, he's on the sideline with his hands out like this, and he's got that haircut that he's got sticking up all over the place, and he's like, got this look of shock on his face, his jaw's wide open, he's grinning ear to ear, and I mean, they're just going to have to make a meme out of that.
That was pretty classic.
It was pretty awesome.
Did you see Luther Burden? He was there with his cool sunglasses and his Louis Vuitton beanie.
I didn't see
walking
that picture.
The sidelines.
I didn't see that picture till this morning. I did not see him during the game. In fact, I wondered to myself yesterday, I wonder if Luther Burden is there. Wouldn't you feel just
He's on the sideline.
Well, I know that now. I did not know that yesterday. But I was thinking to myself, wouldn't you feel just a little bit guilty because they lost their other, Theo Weiss, they lost their other good receiver in the second half to a chest injury, they said. And therefore, they were down two of their best receivers trying to come back against this Iowa team. I'm sure Luther Burden had some regrets as he was pacing the sideline, don't you think?
I don't know. I felt like he kind of had this cool guy look of like, I don't need this. I'm going to the draft, baby. We were reading that he'll be likely first round, but not until, I think they were predicting like 22nd or 23rd overall pick.
Still going to be
Burden. Still fantastic.
Multi-millionaire,
don't get me wrong.
Right?
I know. I mean, that's still incredible. But the guy does come off a bit like he has an ego, or is it just me?
Had he chosen to go out, I don't know. I don't know that much about him, but had he chosen to go out and play yesterday and had injured an ankle or broken a leg or, heaven forbid, something like that, I mean, it could have cost him millions of dollars. Personally, I don't blame him at all for that decision. You know who I do blame? The starting quarterback for Iowa, the kid that played out of his mind yesterday for Iowa, was the backup quarterback. Because the starting quarterback announced he was leaving the program, so he entered the portal to transfer and therefore refused to play in the bowl game. So he carried him all season and then bailed on him in the big game. That's the kind of crap they need to stop in college football. They've just got to say no. Just say no. It's pretty simple. Borrow Nancy Reagan's line. Just say no. If you commit to a program, you've committed for at least two seasons with that team, unless you are old enough to leave early and enter the draft. You can't just get pissed off at the coach and decide you're going to transfer to Ohio State next year. No, you've committed to them. They've committed to you. You're going to give them 2 years or you're going to lose a year of eligibility.
Right.
If you choose to leave, that's it.
I agree. This is not going to be like the teenager who doesn't want to commit to a job. So
right.
They work somewhere for a month. They're bored. They quit. Start a new job. Same thing. Never actually work somewhere for longer than maybe 2 months at a time.
You missed this yesterday, but Tom Ackerman said that they floated the idea of Nick Saban as the college football commissioner, like making him the commissioner of college football. He'll fix that crap. Because he hated that when he was the coach. So I would be all in favor of Nick Saban getting that job if that happens. All right, let's get to a break here, Carl. On the final day of the year, who will grace us with the national anthem?
I'm going to make your day, Mark. On this day in 1991, Theodosius Atrocious donated 200 pounds of venison to a soup kitchen in Michigan.
You know who's going to hate this version is Susan Thomas.
Yes.
Sorry, Sue.
Sorry, Sue, but this is for Mark.
Show some R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
Thank you. Thank you, Reverend Al. Show some R-E-S-P-I-C-T on this final day of 2024. Wow, what a year this has been. And we'll do this a little later in the show as well. But, you know, I'm thinking of the biggest story locally. Kim, for 2024, and at least in my mind, didn't come until November this year, I think. And I mean, I would say that the passage of Amendment 3 was the biggest local story of the year,
hands down.
Embarrassing on a number of levels that are, you know, bumbling, fumbling legislators in Jeff City who have a supermajority couldn't have figured out a way to prevent this. That's at the end of the day, they deserve the blame for why this happened. There's no doubt about that. In Florida, they figured it out. Why can't Missouri figure it out? So the result of that is, and we'll be talking about this more when we take the show live down to Jeff City, is what happens next. Like when they fooled people into passing Clean Missouri, and then everybody woke up and realized what a disaster that was, they went back and put it back on the ballot, and they fixed it. They reversed it to the most extent. Will that happen this time? I don't know. A little later, we're going to talk to Brian Westbrook, executive director, of course, founder of Coalition Life. You've heard him on before. We had him on during the campaign against Amendment 3 to talk about maybe what next steps are. We know that bills have been introduced to a Senate joint resolution to put this thing back on the ballot with at least some sort of restraint when it comes to abortion. Not banning abortion again, but saying nobody can define the word viability. To me, it's the moment of conception is when life begins. It's not confusing. But this is the big issue to me in 2024.
What's mind-blowing to me is the fact that we have a super majority here in Missouri, and we can't seem to get this stuff done. We weren't able to pass IP reform. We weren't able to stop the dark outside money and all these lobbyists from spreading lies about Amendment 3 and what it would do. And it led to what played out.
And we won't. I mean, I don't harbor any illusions that the 2025 legislative a session is going to yield anything different. That at the end of the day, all you need to know is that lobbyists to about 80 or 90% determine what goes on in Jefferson City. They control the Speaker's House seat. They control the Senate pro tem seat. And they decide through influence of money what's going to pass and what's not going to pass to a large extent. Initiative petition is just the latest example of that. But if you saw that Chevy Chase movie, Carl, I can't think of the name of it, where he was the arms dealer. It's an old movie.
Not Spies Like Us.
I don't know
which one you're
talking. It was earlier than that. But the his famous line in that to an arms dealer is, "No matter who loses, we win. No matter who wins, we win," because they're selling arms to both sides. That's who lobbyists are in the state of Missouri. It's just the truth. It's the truth of the matter.
Deal of the century.
They don't care about initiative petition reform. They don't care about it, except that it would prevent them from making money. When people carry initiative petitions into Missouri to try to easily change our Constitution because we have a failed system in place, they stand to make millions of dollars, whether the IP issue passes or not.
Well, didn't you say it was the Realtors Association that was a big part of
the
push to not get IP reform?
They were
passed?
One of the key movers in terms of an organization that cared. They didn't want IP reform to pass.
Right.
The others don't care about the issue so much as the fact that they're going to lose money. They're afraid if it does, because it'll make it harder to move initiative petitions in the state of Missouri. The realtors got a big gain out of IP reform one time by limiting the amount of taxes or whatever that their members had to pay. But these others just want to keep raking in cash from both sides. They don't care about the issues at all. And it's embarrassing. So we'll continue to talk more about this and some of the big national stories as well from 2024. And Kim on a Whim's coming up next.
Kim on a Whim.
Well, here's a somewhat alarming statistic for you on this New Year's Eve. There was an NBC News poll that found only 36% of U.S. adults can pass the U.S. citizenship test. 36%.
Yeah, I saw that.
I can't really say that I'm surprised, to be honest.
Well, I saw this meme the other day, and it's only partially funny, but it's true. If you grew up in the 80s and 90s and 2000s, you don't understand history because your history teacher was also the gym teacher or the coach who showed films every Friday. I mean, it was funny to me because that was the truth. In 8th grade, 9th grade, 10th grade, my history teacher was the football coach. And he could have cared less about history. He was there to coach football.
Right.
But go ahead to your point.
This other statistic kind of backs it up. It says respondents 65 and older scored the best, 74%, while only 19% of the test takers 45 and younger passed. So the younger you are, I guess, the less likely you are to pass. Have you ever watched these PragerU videos that are posted online, going around,
they're
kind
brilliant.
Of doing what we in the TV world would call man on the street? You walk up to someone, put a mic to their face and say, "Hey, to ask them a question." Listen to part of this when they were asking people about basic questions related to civics.
What three branches make up the government?
Oh, yeah, no, I can't pass it.
What two parts make up Congress? How old do you have to be president?
I know it's in the 50s.
Who runs the executive branch?
Let me look that up real quick.
Who did we declare independence from?
Like, what do you mean? Like... Spain?
Great Britain.
Oh.
Do you guys remember the Giants, war that we fought?
Isn't that just not sad?
Well, he also said Britain.
Scary is what it is. We're not asking you what the wording is of the 14th Amendment, because you can understand that people haven't memorized that. Maybe they've read it at some point in their lives, but they haven't memorized it. But if you don't understand the three basic branches of government, those are things anybody should have picked up if they went through 12 years of secondary education, right? That you should have picked that up. if you graduated from high school.
Yep.
You should know at least those basic things. And you should also know that you don't live in a democracy, but a representative republic.
One of the guys in that video later on was asked how many members there were in the U.S. House of Representatives. Now, I know, but I could understand how someone might not have the exact number. I can get it.
What did this guy say?
This guy 100? Was guessing, no, not even that, Mark. He was guessing closer in the range of like 12.
Oh.
Like, not even remotely close.
My goodness.
That's very concerning. It said more than half, 60% of those surveyed did not know which countries the U.S. fought against in World War II. 57% didn't know how many justices are on the Supreme Court, although if it were up to the Democrats, they would pack it. There's just so much stuff. Part of, and I've talked about this because I've been going over history with my parents because I'm interested in it now. But if I'm being honest, when I was in high school and we're learning about all this and you're forced to take those classes,
right.
I couldn't have cared less. It was checking a box for me. When you hear people talk about their time in school, you often hear them refer to that one teacher who really made an impact. And sometimes you say it was your favorite class, not because of the subject matter. Maybe you didn't even care about what they were actually teaching, but you really appreciated that teacher, his or her style. They made learning about whatever it was they were teaching fun.
Right.
And when you're having fun, at least for me, I tend to retain it better. I was more of the person, you know, I was an AB student, and I was good at memorizing what I needed to for a test. I would score a decent grade on my test, and then, you know, 24 hours later, it was out of my head. I don't even remember who my history teacher was.
But you're right, though. All these years later, I remember a couple of teachers who stood out just for the way they, just for the approach to the class to kind of make it fun. Mr. Dahl, I remember. Ms. McCluskey, I remember who remains
McCluskey?
A friend. McCluskey, who remains a friend to this day, of course. And Rocky Heflin, I remember. He's the one I got to go, speaking of Jimmy Carter, he's the one that bet me Carter was going to beat Reagan in a landslide. And I got to go to his room that next morning after the election with a big grin on my face and collect my bet. But he was just one of those people that stood out in your mind as a teacher. You're right. It made a difference. Their classes, he ran, it was like a current affairs class or something, current events. And it was one of those things that you actually learned something because you enjoyed the way the individual taught it.
So how do we fix this pathetic statistic that only 36% of adults, U.S. citizens, adults, could pass the U.S. citizenship? Is it a matter of the style of teaching? Do we need to revamp that? I don't know if this falls on the teachers. I think some of it does. But ultimately, you can't make kids care.
Right. The bigger government gets, I think, the less people care about how it works, which is there's just an assumption that it's just going to be okay. Maybe what they should do, don't hate me for this, is when somebody is that stupid about current events, maybe they ought to say, we need your parents' name and address so we can go back and ask them how the hell they let this happen. Like, I would be embarrassed if one of my children answered one of those questions that way. Where were the mom and the dad through the years? I know you're not sitting your kids down over dinner saying, all right, let's memorize the states and the capitals and let's repeat them during dinner. I mean, I'm not saying you should do that, but at some point, your children don't know the three branches of government. Simple stuff.
The problem is the parents might not know the answers to those questions, so they can't even teach their kids about that.
Oh, we're doomed. We're just doomed. I've heard many people say who've become naturalized U.S. citizens, if you go through that process, if you have to study these things, you know more than 60 or 70% of people that were born here.
Oh, I'm sure.
About how the government operates. Maybe it's because you have consumed it at a later point in your life.
Mm-hmm.
I can admit to that. When I was 17 or 18, I was far less invested in learning things than I was as an adult. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
I had to go back as a 40-something-year-old and study for the Series 7 test when I worked in the financial services industry briefly. Failure was not an option, right? Because it meant you didn't get employed if you didn't pass that test. And I would have been, I would have approached that far differently at 18 than I did in my 40s. I mean, maybe that's the difference. Maybe we should force everybody to go back and learn all this stuff as a condition of employment. You can't work here if you're too stupid not to know the three branches of government. I'm obviously that's tongue in cheek, but still.
Not can you imagine your job, being told that? I'm sorry, not, sir. Not you are too stupid to work sorry. Here. Please try again next year.
I'm sorry, but you're clearly your level of aptitude does not meet our basic requirement. To understand that you to operate in this world, you need to have a basic understanding of the organization, which is government, which controls way too many aspects of your life, and you don't even understand how it works.
Well, I know a lot of people who feel overwhelmed by politics. They get angry now, especially now, about politics. And so their way of coping with that is to basically pretend
ignore
it doesn't
it.
Exist. Yeah, they ignore it. And so in doing so, you don't learn anything about what's going on.
And
it's really
and they
easy
vote.
To bury your... Well, and yeah, you're right. These are the people who are voting. I mean, especially these high school students who are clearly not paying attention in class. That's a problem. This citizenship test, by the way, it includes 100 questions. There's also a required interview, and you have to answer 6 of the 10 questions correctly during the interview in English in order to pass. That's it.
Oh, in English?
Well,
geez.
You know.
Why would we put that on there, too? Why are you piling on? How about proper
it says
English?
If they meet age or residency eligibility, they may take the civics test in their native language.
How about grammar? How about the fact that you can be stripped of your citizenship if you're too stupid to answer these questions? I'm just kidding. But I'm angered by this. I am. I'm sorry. Last day of the year and you've got me worked up here.
You are
Who
welcome,
Who are
Mark?
These people?
I just wish I could go in my little time machine and go back to high school, and I wish I would have cared more about these things. I don't know if I would have retained it. That's part of the problem for me. I really struggle to retain a lot of this, not just with politics, just in general.
If I could get in a time machine and go back in time to 1985, you know what I would say to myself? Buy Microsoft stock. I'd say those three words.
Apple.
Or Apple stock. And I would go on a quest as a 18 or 19 year old to Central California looking for this Gates guy or Jobs guy and try to buy some stock in this company. Because that would have a much bigger impact on my life than learning history at that point.
Don't we all wish that?
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, that was a great whim, Kim. You got me fired up now. We got lots of talk. You know who else has got me fired up this morning? Elton John. And I'm going to tell you why when we come back from the break. Stay tuned.
Oh, you should be coming on pretty soon, dude. How much do you smoke?
This will be a little demonstration of that. Listen up. That was my skull. I'm so wasted.
Little Jeff Spicoli there for you this morning. And the reason we're playing Rocket Man is I want to read this first sentence to you out of this article. He may have coined Rocket Man, but he is currently not a fan of getting high. So Elton John just got named Person of the Year, right? I'm sorry, Icon of the Year by Time Magazine, not to be confused with Person of the Year, which Donald Trump won. And in the interview, he covered a wide swath of topics. John, 77, spoke glowingly and reminiscently about his past and the numerous concerts he's performed. However, most of the article is wistful, but there was a point where John turned particularly terse, and it had to do with marijuana use. After chronicling his own sordid past when it came to drug use, John told Time magazine he thinks North America has made a catastrophic mistake with its laissez-faire attitude towards the devil's lettuce. I maintain, says Elton John, that it is addictive. It leads to other drugs. Because as I've detailed repeatedly for you on this show, it is indeed a gateway drug, and it's led to tremendous problems in other states that have legalized it. Missouri is seeing the effects of that as well. John personally noted that when you're stoned, and I've been stoned, You don't think normally, he said. But the British musician saved his most biting critique for addressing North America directly. Legalizing marijuana in America and Canada is one of the greatest mistakes of all time. And he stands by that now. He's just a musician. That's his choice. He said, John admitted that it can be difficult to start conversations, particularly with stoners, but that it's needed. It's tough to tell anyone that they're being an a-hole. It's tough to hear. Eventually, I made the choice to admit that I'm being an a-hole, says Elton John. So anyway, I just hats off to Time's Icon of the Year for stating that publicly. I'm not going to change anybody's mind. I mean, I made my views on it pretty clear, I think, Carl. Would you agree with pretty clear? Is that an apt description? When it was on the ballot, and clearly the marijuana industry, which is making millions and millions and millions of dollars off of your habit now, it pushed for it and spent a lot of money to glamorize it and get people to pass it. And of course, all the stoners that wanted to be able to go to a shiny new store and buy this stuff that's 10 times stronger than anything their parents ever smoked. And then we're all just supposed to pretend that there's nothing to see here. That's my biggest issue with it, and continues to be my biggest issue with it. I smell it everywhere I go. I smell it driving down the street, which means the people in the car in front of me are getting stoned while they're driving. But me, if I got pulled over and the cop thought he smelled alcohol on my breath, would drag me out of the car and give me either a breathalyzer or a nystagmus gaze test or
field sobriety
one of the
test.
Field sobriety tests right there, because of the way that law was written by the marijuana industry and supporters. You are not allowed to do that with somebody just because you smell marijuana in the car. So they've completely screwed this up in terms of how it can be policed. It can't be policed. And, you know, the problems in some of these other states like Colorado, that's probably had it legalized the longest. We warned you there are lots of psychiatric problems going on with kids that are just stoned all the time. They can't operate in their lives without being baked before they walk out the door.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's just horrible. I'm not saying alcohol is not problematic. Don't get me wrong. This just adds a whole new level.
We were walking through Candy Cane Lane over the last week, I guess, and I smell weed. I'm like, where is that coming from? Oh, the driver of the car was just openly smoking.
Absolutely.
Well, children are walking by. Doesn't that make you feel fantastic?
I mean, you wouldn't have been driving down the street drinking a beer, most likely. But you go, Elton John. I'll give you credit on that one, pal. Coming up in the next hour, we'll talk more about the top stories of 2024. What was the biggest one in your mind? And we'll get the opinion of former Senator John Lamping about 6:35.
Get more at 971talk.com.